All right, well, let's pray and we'll get into our study. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your love and your grace to us. We thank you for your presence and the joy we get from knowing you, knowing about you, knowing who you are, and the joy we get from your Holy Spirit in our hearts, the joy we get from the way that you sustain us and provide for us and protect us from evil. Pray that you bless our night, that we learn about your heart, and that we work through things that are difficult for us. We place this in your hands this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you know, this month we're on the topic of forgiveness. And last week we went through what the Bible teaches about forgiveness. What is biblical forgiveness? And we went through a bunch of different verses. I don't know how many, probably like 30 different verses, 40 different verses, I don't know. Just covering what the Bible teaches on the topic of forgiveness. And so here's the schedule for tonight. There we go. So we'll start with recapping what we talked about last week, just so that we have that fresh in our mind, not the whole thing, but just quickly touch on it. And then tonight's all about how do we forgive, more of the practical side. Last week was more of teaching us what the Bible teaches about forgiveness, and this is more about putting that into practice. So we'll overview last week, we'll remember the process, remember what the benefit of that is, recognize the challenge that we face when forgiving, then see what we need in order to forgive, the requirements, and then we'll give an example of a method that we can use to forgive people, and then hopefully we have enough time to talk through some examples and questions from your lives and things that we have trouble working through. That's the agenda. So we'll start with the recap. What we learned last week is that we're called to forgive others as Christ forgave us. So we're modeling our forgiveness off of Christ's forgiveness. This is the squeaky chair that I hate. I thought we hid that back where it would never show up again, but it just pops back up. Okay. So we're called to forgive as Christ forgave. Christ's our model. Colossians 3 talks about forgiving one another. If you have a complaint, if you have something that bothers you about somebody else, someone else has done something against you, forgive one another as Christ forgave you. So that's our model. That's what the way that Christ forgives is how we think about forgiving. And so forgiveness from God looks like these five subpoints here. That forgiveness, that God offers his forgiveness to everyone in the world, but that forgiveness is only applied to us when we receive it. So, you know, we continue to be sinful and accounted sinful until we receive that forgiveness from God. That forgiveness is unearned and it's unconditional once it's applied. So we didn't accomplish a bunch of good works to be worthy of God's forgiveness. It's a free gift. And it's unconditional once it's applied, so that there is no unforgivable sin other than denying the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness means God forgets our sin. Not that he has amnesia, but that it's not on our ledger anymore. He knows what we did, but it's not counted against us. It's forgotten. It's taken off the ledger. And then it produces fruit in our life. Once we're forgiven, then we produce the fruit of the Lord. So that's a recap of what we talked about last week. And then one of the things that we identified is the process of forgiveness. So I wanted to stress this a little bit more, that there we broke out the process of forgiveness into three different steps. First, forgive. You forgive someone else first. Then, after you've forgiven them, then you have a chance to reconcile with them. And then after you reconcile with them, you can let them start building trust again. So forgive first, infinite times, and without waiting for repentance. So you forgive, Jesus said in Matthew 18 that you'd forgive 70 times seven times. How many times do we forgive, Lord? Infinite amount of times. And Jesus modeled on the cross forgive them, for they know not what they do. So we're forgiving an infinite amount of time. We're the first one to forgive, even when someone has no idea what they did wrong. And we're not waiting for them to repent first. Then after we've forgiven them, then we go and take a step toward reconciling with them. We try to reconcile with them so that it's for our benefit too, because it's good to be reconciled with someone, but it's we go for their benefit, that we would be restored with them. So Matthew 18 says, if someone sins against you, tell him what he did. And if you can work it out between you two, you've been bonded together as brothers or as sisters under Christ. If they deny you, okay. You know, Romans 12:18 says, if it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with everyone. If possible, as much as it depends on you. So your job is to offer reconciliation and express, what the person did in a loving way. But then if the person doesn't want to reconcile, then there's no reconcile is a two-way street. Then the third part is building trust. You don't trust, forgiveness and trust aren't the same thing, and they often are thought of as the same thing. But it comes last, after reconciliation, and trust is actually earned. That someone, you have to see how someone has repented and has shown that they're responsible enough to be gifted that trust. Proverbs 14 says, the foolish believe every word, but the wise considers the steps, considers what they do, considers their actions. And Jesus modeled for us in Luke 16 that when you're faithful with a little, God gives you a lot. When you're not faithful with little, God doesn't give you any more. That's how God builds trust, or how we build trust with God. So we're modeling ourselves after him. When we give someone a little bit of our trust, if they handle that well, we can give them more. But if they don't handle that well, we don't give them anything. So memorize this. We forgive first, no matter what. Then we reconcile with the person, if possible, if they let us. And then, after we're reconciled, we let them start building our trust again. And in the opposite way, when you've wronged somebody, you don't expect them, don't get mad at them for not trusting you right away. Hopefully they've forgiven you, but then you have to earn trust with someone. So what's the benefit of forgiveness? First, it strengthens your relationship with God and your dependence on him. The Lord's Prayer, it says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. A core part of our relationship with God. In the prayer that Jesus modeled for us, it includes us forgiving others. And the second benefit is that it sets you free and begins to let you heal from your anger and hurt. Ephesians 4 lists bitterness, anger, wrath, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. It instructs us to throw all that away. You don't want that a part of your life. Instead of those things, it says to be kind to one another, to be tender-hearted, gentle, forgive one another as Christ forgave you. So you're healing from the anger and the bitterness and the wrath in your life and the evil things you say about other people or the things that you hold against other people. You're healing from all that and instead being kind and forgiving. And the third point is that a benefit is that it demonstrates the love and grace of God to the world, that forgiveness is a witness to the whole world. We're called to love one another in John 13 as Christ has loved us, and that's how people will know we're disciples, is that we're followers of Jesus, is that we're loving one another. So our forgiveness to Christians and non-Christians is a witness to the world. We show how Christ forgives, and we show the love of Christ when we forgive other people. Now, that's all good and dandy, but forgiveness is difficult. It's challenging. So what is the challenge that we face? Well, first, forgiveness is painful and costly. You're carrying a cross when you're forgiving people. You have to bear their burden on your life. And often, we don't want to forgive. I don't feel like forgiving. And so that's a cost. And rightfully so. That's we expect for that to happen, that we don't feel like it. We don't want to. We know it's painful and costly. Second challenge is that forgiveness is ongoing. It's not just a one-time event, but after we forgive someone, later on, that feeling will come up again of unforgiveness, and that anger, that malice will come up again. And we have to continue to forgive them again and again and again. And even the first time we forgive them, sometimes it takes longer than that for us to actually forgive someone. So even then, you take it one step at a time. You continue to work on forgiving someone. The third challenge is that forgiveness can feel unfair or useless. You'd be like, well, what about me? What's happened to me? Your pride can get in the way of forgiveness. Or you could think, what's the point? It's not going to change anything. They're not going to change. It's not going to affect them. So what's the point in forgiving at all? Those are the challenges that we're facing. And in order to face those challenges, we need to know what's required to overcome those challenges. We need to know what do we need in order to actually be able to forgive. So the requirements, and next slide, yep. First one is an honest reliance on the Holy Spirit. So we have to be very honest with the Lord about how we're feeling and what's affecting us. We're not trying to put on a face to God. But then we're relying on the Holy Spirit to do the work inside of us. It's beyond our power on our own. Galatians 6 compares walking in the Spirit with walking in the flesh. And the works of the flesh, it describes as hatred and contentions and jealousies and outbursts of wrath and selfish ambitions and dissensions. Those things that hold back our forgiveness are works of our flesh. They're not of God. In contrast to that, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And those things are fruits of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to impugn a supernatural amount of that in us in order to be able to forgive. True forgiveness is probably beyond the power of our flesh, because our flesh is full of that hatred and holding a grudge. The Spirit is what does that transformative work in us. The second thing is that forgiveness is not sacrificing truth, justice, or repentance. And John 8 says that the truth shall set us free. Isaiah 1 says that we should learn to do good and seek justice and rebuke the oppressor and defend the fatherless and stand up for the widow. And Luke 17 says, if your brother sins against him, rebuke him and he should repent. And so Scripture teaches that you can't have forgiveness if you are pretending like what's wrong isn't wrong, if you're sacrificing truth, or if you're allowing injustices to continue, or if you are saying repentance isn't important. None of those things are accurate teachings of forgiveness. Forgiveness requires each of those things. So we're not sacrificing any of those things for forgiveness, but we still are called to forgive. And then third, a humble understanding of what we've been forgiven. In Luke 7, when Jesus is dealing with a woman who is known to be sinful, and she's completely embarrassing herself in public to demonstrate her love to Jesus, and she does not care. All she cares about is showing her love to Jesus. In that moment, Jesus says, when people are starting to mock her, Jesus says, now she's the only one who understands. She's been forgiven much, and so she loves much. Those who haven't been forgiven a lot don't love a lot. And so we have to really understand what we've been forgiven to really grasp that kind of love, for it to really sink in how we could forgive others. So this is what helps us forgive. Reliance on the Holy Spirit, not sacrificing truth, justice, repentance, because then you aren't doing real forgiveness. And then have a humble understanding of what God's forgiven you. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I can wait until the end, though.
Okay. Is it on this or something separate?
It's the same subject.
Go for it.
You had said last week, and mm-hmm. I always hear it like this, like quick to forgive, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had said something like almost like a pause of forgiveness, like really like take the time. I believe how you worded it, a little, your own words, but like, you know, like don't just forgive, like, but like take that time to set, like almost like set your, and this answers my question, It's like almost set your heart to forgive that person. You know, it's like, and so as I'm talking, the action of your heart has to change. You know?
Yeah, I don't know what you're referring to exactly, but this isn't shallow. This isn't like, and we could be tempted to do that, like give lip service to forgiveness. Like, oh, I forgive you, but then harbor it in our heart. But this is something that should be like at the deep core of our being, our soul, our heart, our mind is forgiving them. So we're recognizing that someone has harmed us and we're letting it all go. We're no longer remembering it or holding it against them anymore. It's gone. And that is core to yourself. So like I said, in one of the points earlier is that forgiveness isn't just a one-time event, that you continue to forgive moving forward. Yeah. Okay, so this will help. Now, this kind of gets into the like very practical aspect, the method of forgiveness. And there's this man who kind of focused his life on this topic his name is Dr. Bruce Hagel. He is the author of a book called Forgiving Forward. And I put the website on there. This is his method. I added the verses, but these are his steps. And I couldn't like find or think of or come up with anything that represented the biblical model of forgiveness as well as this. So this isn't like a law. This isn't like the only way you go about forgiving someone. But I think this 7-step process is helpful when thinking about how do I practically like take steps to forgive someone in my life. So the first step is thank God for forgiving you. The Psalm 103 talks about blessing the Lord and not forgetting everything he's done to benefit you, not forgetting all of the things that he's forgotten, he's forgiven you for, or all the things that he's healed you of. Remember everything God has done for you. And that puts you in the mindset of understanding God's forgiveness, thanking and blessing him for what he's forgiven you. Second is, after you've done that, repent of your own sin of unforgiveness. 1 John 1 tells us to confess our sins, and he's faithful to forgive us and cleanse us, but confess your sins to the Lord. So we start there. Before we worry about other people's sins, we worry about our own, and we confess our sin of unforgiveness. Or in this case, it's a sin to not forgive someone. It's rejecting God's command to us. So we confess that sin of unforgiveness. Then step 3, we ask God, who do I need to forgive and for what? Mark 11 talks about just when you're standing and praying to the Lord and there's someone who's wronged you and you haven't letting it go, forgive him. And so sometimes we don't even know who I'm harboring anger against. Sometimes we do and we need to forgive that person. Sometimes we don't even realize it. And so sometimes you have to like think through and pray through who have I not forgiven. And it's not, the goal here isn't to dig up dirt on people from your life, but the goal is to analyze the hardness of your own heart. Like who in my life is my heart hard towards, or who have I not let go of something for? Step 4 is forgive each offense from your heart. So Matthew 18 says that my Heavenly Father will also deliver you to the torturers if you haven't forgiven from your heart, if you don't forgive your brother from your heart. There's a consequence to not forgiving. So this is the step of actually forgive them now. The Lord has, you've thought about your forgiveness, what God's forgiven you. You've confessed your sin of unforgiveness. You've prayed through, who am I supposed to forgive? Now forgive them. And here's like a prayer, an example prayer that you can give. Lord, I choose to forgive so-and-so from my heart for whatever they did to me. Lord, is there anything else I need to forgive this person for? And I declare that this person is no longer in my debt. I transfer their debt to the cross. I'm no longer holding it. Colossians 2 talks about wiping out the handwritten requirements and nailing it to the cross. That's what Christ did for us. So we're going to do the same thing. We're going to say, all that person's sin is covered by the cross, and I'm no longer going to hold them accountable to that in my heart. Step 5 is ask God to bless them and look for ways to bless them when possible. Matthew 5 says to love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you. So you're actually going to pray for that person to be blessed. pray for God to do something wonderful for them. And then, if possible, you're going to do something wonderful for them. That helps you forgive them by doing something good for them. And it helps show you if you have forgiven them or not. If that's a hard thing for you to do, something good for them, then you go back to praying about the forgiveness. But if that's like something that brought you joy to bless them, then that's one more step toward forgiving them and letting go of whatever they've done wrong to you. Step 6, commit to not remember the offense. Isaiah 43 says that God will blot out our transgressions and he will not remember our sins. So we'll forgive them, but sometimes that memory comes back up. And when that memory comes back up, say to yourself, I specifically remember forgiving that. Pray to the Lord, God, that's coming up again, but I forgave that. And then pray for God to let you forgive that again and praise him for the freedom that forgiveness gives you. Then bless the person you forgave again. Pray for their blessing and act something good toward them again and pray for reconciliation. If you've already taken the step of reconciliation, that's good. If you haven't yet, you might want to pray about if it's time. You have to actually forgive the person before you can reconcile with them, because it's a two-way street, and one of those streets is you. So even if they repented but you didn't forgive them, you're not going to be able to reconcile. So you have to forgive them and then go reconcile with them. So 2 Corinthians 5 talks about how God has reconciled us to himself, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That primarily speaks to our ministry of bringing people to the Lord, reconciling people to the Lord through Christ. But it's hard to do that when we've not reconciled ourselves to people, or at least done our part of that as much as it relies on us. And then finally, step 7 is make pre-forgiveness a lifestyle. Like, we walk knowing that people are going to do wrong by us, and we're ready to defend them, to forgive them as soon as it comes up. Ephesians 4 talks about walking with lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with other people in love, because people are going to give us a tough time, and so we continue to love them. So if you want to put up the next slide, it shows you the 7 steps without the verses, just so you can see them clean and without the prayers included. But this is the most helpful set of steps I've seen. Again, it's not like something you have to follow by the letter unless you think it's helpful for you, but it gives you an idea of how to actually go about forgiving someone in your life. Well, you have to keep going back, yeah. This is, again, not a one-time thing. Forgiveness is an ongoing thing. So this is something that we should be praying like all the time type of thing. Going through this list type of, you know, all the time. And regarding, you know, everybody in our life. Okay, questions. If you want to put up the title slide again so we can look at each section that we talked about today. Questions about what we talked about so far. Everything makes sense?
It's good knowledge to have, because yes, like we're explaining, it's like ongoing. So it's like, oh, that thing came up in my mind again. I need to bring it to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, go right away. You know, do it. You know.
It's, yeah.
Because yes, we all have been hurt in an example of some way, or you know, of someone doing wrong to us.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. What's a situation that we could talk through together? A situation in your life that is difficult to forgive? Yeah.
Mine has always been when it comes back.
The feeling coming back.
That's the worst part when it comes back. But I have those, you know, when I come to the point I'm having a hard time. I said, God, please help me to forgive that person. I've already forgiven in the way that I want to, see, but now there's a process.
Yeah, I think
sometimes it takes a while. You keep praying about it.
I think that touches on Javier's point from earlier, which is like forgiveness needs to come from like the depths of our soul, and sometimes we can't fully tap into all of that, like not all of that's at the surface or available to us. And so whatever you're aware of your unforgiveness, you can confess to the Lord and forgive them and seek reconciliation with them. But then later down the road, something you didn't know that was going to bother you still, and that can bubble up again, and that means some deeper part of your soul still hung on to that. And that's a good thing that it came out, so that you can pray through that came up and work through that and have forgiveness in that part aspect. And you just continuously do that over and over again.
In some cases, reconciliation, sometimes I feel it's better to let that go, because the type of person you're dealing with, if you go and you bring it up, they're going to start, and it's going to go all the way.
Yeah, reconciliation takes wisdom. So remember, it says reconciliation if possible. And so I think generally if you're talking about particularly a situation with someone you love, like a family member, a friend, someone in the church, another Christian, in all of those scenarios, you generally can forgive them first. That's important. If you don't forgive them first, you're going to go looking for retribution. You're going to go trying to make the person feel bad. And that's not what we're doing. You go to the other person for their sake, because you want to have a healthy relationship with them and you want to love them. And so you forgive them first, and then with someone that you know that well, you can go to them and say, this is what happened, where I took offense, and this is why, but I don't want to be offended. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to hold any grudges against you. So I've let that go and I've forgiven you. I just want to be close again with you. And usually with a friend, family member, Christian, etc., you can bring that to them and then leave the ball in their court. Don't bring it up again. Maybe they'll say, yeah, I was wrong. You can reconcile. Maybe they don't feel they're wrong or whatever. And then, you know, your relationship, it depends on how serious the issue is. But you can let that go, but they might not be able to let it go, you know. So it depends. But with like a stranger or someone who you don't know very well, sometimes you're not, or who you're not close to, sometimes you're not in a position to even bring it up with them, because you haven't earned the trust in their life in the past to be able to be that honest and open with them. And sometimes you have to just forgive them without reconciling.
And then you're saying, as you build trust, right? But does that mean I'm every time that comes up and I'm grieving this expectation I had of what this marriage was supposed to be like? So there's this idea of what God wanted it to be like too, and that's been broken. Mm-hmm. So I've forgiven, but the pain of it, the process of healing is grieving.
Mm-hmm.
And but does that mean I didn't forgive them? I'm not, you know. See what you make me feel like? No, that's not what I'm going through at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But in a loving, healing relationship where the man wants to reconcile with you, and it's the trust, and it's the process of reconnecting, and it's painful. It's very painful. But anyway, I just was kind of wondering when you said that, is that going, well, shoot, does that mean I'm supposed to ask every time, well, you know, because I, you know, that's what I'm thinking. Is there
a difference? Well, so the process of healing can't happen without forgiveness. But forgiveness and healing aren't the same thing either. Forgiving is letting guilt, their guilt, come off the ledger that you keep account of in your head. So like, this person has wronged me. It's that, it's wiping that out. But if someone stabs you with a knife and you forgive them, you're still going to have a knife wound. And so that wound still needs to be, so that wound needs to be healed still. And so you're still going to be hurt if your spouse cheats on you. The Bible says you don't even have to reconcile that marriage if you don't want to, though it encourages you. That's a good option, but it doesn't say you have to. It's not unbiblical to divorce after someone's cheated on you. And so there's different even forms of reconciliation after something like that. But just like healing a stab wound, God can do a miracle and that whole wound can be just sealed up and like it never even happened. Supernatural miracle. Healing from someone hurting you even as much as cheating on you can just happen. Like the Lord can just heal it all the way, or like a stab wound, the more normative situation for a stab wound, the more common situation, is that the Lord lets the body, how he created it, heal through it. And the more normative way of recovering from the hurt from adultery is working through those emotions over years of time. So God can heal you both ways, right away or over time. Usually he does over time, but that's separate than forgiving. But also, forgiving often is harder when you have an ongoing wound. So that wound, it's like the pain of that wound. Like when you forgive the person when they first stabbed you, but then when they're stitching you up, it hurts again. And so then that pain re-triggers unforgiveness. You have to forgive them again because I'm hurting now. I hurt before, I forgave you for that. But now I'm hurting again because I'm being stitched up.
See, that's where I'm getting confused with, because I don't,
it's not necessary, it's not, it's not necessary that the pain causes unforgiveness. That doesn't happen every time. I'm saying it can happen. Where once you feel the pain again, you can get mad at the person again. And then you have to re-forgive them. Not everybody does. Sometimes you've forgiven and you've forgiven completely. But sometimes...
So grieving is being mad?
No. Can't... anger can be a part of grieving.
It's like this long,
they're not the same thing.
Longing, and so to me the healing is now God is filling that void that I was hoping would be with my husband, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And so now God fills that wound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all good stuff.
But anyway, I just was going, God, I have to do that forgiveness thing? I thought I was really good at that.
Well, if you've already forgiven them, then that's great. But you want to continue to forgive everyone, you know. And make sure if unforgiveness comes up that you forgive again. Yeah, so if you, can you put up the, what's it called? Process?
with me again, or?
What do you mean by that? Sure.
So you can see those things happening again, just like before. And at that point, you know, at that point, they haven't really done anything again. So do you forgive them ahead of time? Or do you just say, okay,
yeah. Yeah, so it's really important to keep these three things separate. Forgiveness is not reconciliation, meaning coming back together, and reconciliation isn't trust. And so in this scenario, pre-forgiving, if by pre-forgiving you mean forgiveness specifically, that's a good thing to prepare your heart for. Pre-forgiving is like a preparation. You can't forgive someone for something they haven't done yet. So like pre-forgiving is like preparing your heart to be forgiving, but that's not reconciliation or trust. And so in an example of cheating, if your spouse has cheated on you and you've forgiven them and then they've repented, their repentance is necessary for reconciliation. So because reconciliation is a two-way street. You have to forgive and they have to repent. And so if they've repented and they've turned from that, and then you've reconciled and you continue to stay married, then comes the process, after all of that, you're still married, then comes the process of building trust, which means they have to consistently like show that they're not falling into the same patterns again to prove to you that they're trustworthy. You give them a little bit of responsibility and they use that well, and then you trust them with a little more, et cetera. If they start doing the same, going down the same path that led them to that before, that's lowering the trust level. And that's something that you would then talk to them about, that I'm not holding you accountable for what happened before. You're clean as if you've never cheated before. But this is the same pattern you went down as last time. And so that leads me to believe it's not wise to trust you continuing going down that same path again. Because wisdom is judging the actions of the person and what they've been faithful with. So does that make sense? What do you mean? Well, think about it so we can like work through it a little more. We're going to build on that.
You gave an example last week, the slashing the tires.
Yeah.
It's not as, like, a relationship.
Yeah.
But you gave, like, a wronging. Well, they're both wronging, but you gave, like, an example of. But you said the barriers of you park somewhere else.
Yeah. Or yeah.
You make yeah. ways for.
I'm not going to trust them with that again. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The example I gave last week that he's referring to is. If a coworker slashed your tires at work and then came to you and said they're sorry, and then you went and spent $2,000 on new tires, and then you went to work again and they slashed their tires again, and then you went and said they're sorry, and then you got new tires again, it would be foolish to continue to trust them around your tires. So it'd be foolish to keep parking in that parking lot, or to not ask a security guard to do something about it, or to not report it or something, because you haven't built up any trust with them. They haven't earned any trust, or it'd be foolish to trust them. But that's not forgiveness. You can fully forgive them and not hold that against them at all, but they haven't actually repented, obviously, because they're continuing to do it, and they haven't built up any trust with you. And so you put up protections to make sure your car's tires aren't slashed again. So you build up protections. And in a marriage scenario, a lot of times the spouse gets frustrated, the cheating spouse, that now they have all these things that they, all these hoops they have to jump through. And they get frustrated with that. And the thing is look, you had a chance to have this marriage without the barriers put up, but you weren't able to handle that chance. You've proven that you can't handle that much freedom. And so in order to build the trust of your spouse, even if you're convinced you can handle it now, in order to build the trust of your spouse for their sake, you need to sacrifice what you want for their sake to build their trust to and jump through whatever hoops they want you to jump through. And I've never cheated on Morgan. If she said to me, hey, I need to go through your text messages every night or whatever, that would be annoying to me because I'd have to like make sure she had my phone and, you know, I wouldn't be able to play games on it or whatever. But I would jump through that hoop because I love her and I would need to sacrifice for whatever she needed to have that trust. And there's limits to that, of course, with like, you know, we can go through a whole marriage counseling type conversation. But the point is that you're willing to sacrifice to build trust with someone that you've wronged. You mean the hurt party, the one who's been cheated on?
Says, hey, I want to see your phone.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It also is important, you're thinking, well, I've never done this and I'll never do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But then there also is importance to realize, why is she asking?
Exactly.
What made her come to this point of asking them?
Yeah.
I went into my marriage assuming that he's going to cheat no matter what because all men are going to do it. And
men are gross.
Yeah. I really did thought that, right?
Yeah.
And I had this like, yeah. And so until I came to the Lord fully, I realized it's a hurt that I gave.
Yeah.
I'm bringing into my marriage.
And everybody does bring their own hurts into the marriage. And part of the responsibility of the marriage, the two becoming one flesh, is your wounds are now his wounds. And the way that your wounds affect your marriage is a burden that he is now required to bear on your behalf. And so his job then is to both sacrifice and give up his phone, even though that might make him feel like you're watching him. You know, because his parents, I'm making this up obviously, but his parents were super restrictive and always looked at his text messages. And now he feels like you're just like his mom, you know? And so it's like both of you sacrificing to heal each other's wounds, you know? And that's what a marriage is. But I don't think couples are always prepared to live in that marriage as Christ tells us to sacrifice, to tend to each other's wounds. I think a lot of times couples go into it being like, you're an adult, I'm an adult, like, you need to handle your business and I'll handle my business, and that's not what a marriage is.
And also going back to forgiveness, when I actually came to the Lord and I forgave my dad, truly forgave my dad, I was able to trust him wholeheartedly.
Yeah, that helped.
Because it helped me realize that I was putting my dad's sin on
him. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And to what I was talking about with Adriana, healing can't happen until you forgive. And it starts happening. If you don't forgive someone, it's like leaving the knife in you that they stabbed you with. Like, even if you take out the knife, you got to heal. But unforgiveness is like leaving it in there, and then you're just never going to heal. It might even start to get some scar tissue around it, and you might stop bleeding, like it might clot. But you still have a knife wound, you know? You have to get the knife out. In order to begin the healing process, you have to forgive. Yeah. I saw a hand over here like a while ago. Did anybody have a hand up at some point? It was out of the corner of my eye. No? Okay. Did you have a hand up?
Yeah.
I'll get to you next.
What's helped me, a few years ago, real hard time with the Lutheran.
Mm-hmm.
Calvary Chapel Modesto, the youth pastor, Mark, he took the place of the pastor in application.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's really good. And he gave a whole thing about forgiveness. And he ended with, it's hard. You know, sometimes it's hard. And God knows it's hard. That's what hit me. Because all the time I'm thinking that God's mad at me because I'm had, if I was walking in the Spirit, then I'd be able to forgive right away. You know, this Pentecostal stuff. Excuse me, Danny. I don't mean charismatic. Hey, back in it. But anyway, that's what helped me.
So forgiveness.
God knows it's hard. He sees what we're going through while we're running the race.
Forgiveness has a cost. For Christ, forgiveness was the cross. And for us, it's carrying our own cross. For us, it's dying to ourselves and dying to the feeling of, I don't want to forgive, or like, I don't want to do that, and or the hurt or whatever. Like, I want to hold that against them. It's, yeah, they don't deserve it. It's not going to matter. It's not going to change anything. All that, that's the cost of forgiveness for us.
There's times that I've said, God, you see this. You saw that. You know that I didn't deserve that. You know I didn't do that.
Yeah.
I've said that. But then when you think back, look at Stephen, the first recorded martyr. You
know, yeah, forgive them for not what they. Yeah, forgive them. Yeah. But so it's important to be honest about that, though. The Psalms are all about crying out to God in that way. Like, God, I didn't deserve this at all. The Psalms are doing that. We've already covered Psalms that did that. So it's honest with God about that. But then the end of the Psalm is always then, but God, I trust you with this. And so it's like letting it go to the Lord. Brett.
Too late, I forgot.
No, there's no way. You got it.
So I guess basically, if you forgive in your heart that you don't let them know, you can't just let them live in anguish.
That's where the wisdom comes in. It's reconciliation if possible. The instruction given, let me pull up the verse so that I can maybe try to get it on the screen. Where is it? Matthew 18, if you can find it in last week's, which is down below. Matthew 18:15. So the context that Jesus says, go tell them what they did, is probably someone who you're close enough to be able to have that conversation. But there's certain situations where, like if coworker from 2 years ago who I'd never talked to again did something that they didn't even realize they did against me, and I've been harboring all this resentment against them, but I haven't seen them in 2 years, and now I recognize that and I want to forgive them. It's probably not helpful for me to call them up on the phone and be like, hey, 2 years ago, you did whatever and you like hurt my career, and this whole time I've been mad at you and now I forgive you. Because that's more like putting a burden on them. And the step of reconciliation is for them. Yeah, or like don't realize it happened or whatever. Right. And so there's situations where it's unloving to dump that on them, but there's plenty of situations where, like, the person knows you're angry with them. And in that scenario, you need to go, if they know you're angry with them, you need to go to them and be like, this is why I was upset, and I've forgiven you, and I'm sorry that I displayed anger toward you, but I would like to have a good relationship with you moving forward. Yeah, this is that verse that I was referencing. So if your brother sins against you and you tell them and they hear you, then you've gained a brother. And that's the benefit, is that until you have this conversation, you can't have a brother. So that coworker from 2 years ago, you're just never going to see again. They're not going to be a brother. And that's the down part of not having this conversation. But if you're able to have this conversation that and they receive it, then you gain like a close relationship with the person.
Yeah, it was a coworker. It was only it was New Year's Eve, and when it happened, I let him know I was upset, and I kind of put him in his place. And ever since then, he's you can tell he's avoiding. You know, he doesn't want. He knows he did wrong, but and I don't think it was intentional. And it's just kind of. I've been wrestling with, well, should I bring it up again? And in my heart, I know I have to.
Well, if he's, that's good that you're listening to the Holy Spirit. We can like stop there. But for the benefit of everyone, that's a perfect example of where you probably should go talk to him because he's avoiding you and he knows you were angry. And so, you know, you have to, you're responsible to apologize if you lashed out at him in any sinful anger, if you said any like harsh things toward him. Then that's good. But that would be what you would apologize for. But then you would say, hey, listen, this situation that happened, this is why it upset me. But I've completely forgiven you, and I'd love to move on like that never happened. I'd love to forget it ever happened.
You know, it's amazing how this lesson and I was speaking pretty much to my situation.
I love when the Lord does that. Yeah, so I can never trust you again is probably overshooting what's possible once forgiveness happens. That there's some way that someone can earn your trust again. But there's even a limit on that. You know, there's things that disqualify someone from being a pastor. You know, there's like things that you do that would disqualify you for that position or... you know, there's things that would disqualify someone from serving in children's ministry or something like that. And so there's levels of that. There's certain situations where the consequence limits you from being able to be trusted in a certain way. But generally speaking, there's an opportunity for someone to build trust with you again, generally speaking. It doesn't mean you have to give it to them before they earned it. Like, that would be foolish. And I think it's unhelpful for reconciliation to put a burden on someone. Now you have to earn it. That's more, like, vindictive. Like, that's more like trying to make them feel the pain. Realize what you did, and now you have to, like, you're going to have to earn my trust back. They don't need to know that, and that hurts the reconciliation part. But just practically speaking, they should know that, you know, you're going to be making sure that they're trustworthy before you give them that again. Look for receipts.
I would keep two wallets.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go. All right, well, on that note, I'll pray, and then I realize this conversation, this topic, it's best like worked out on a case-by-case basis, so you know how that works out in each situation. So feel free to talk to me after service tonight, or set up time with me to meet and chat through your situation at some other point. But this hopefully gives you a framework to work off of. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your forgiveness of us. We thank you that you first forgave us, and we've received that forgiveness and felt it, experienced it ourselves, and now we're motivated and guided to forgive others. We want to forgive as you forgave. Help us have wisdom. Help us figure out these complicated situations, but help us have your heart, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.